Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report. Another massive week in cricket. The Aussies held on for a draw against Pakistan. The Vics won the JLT series. Sheffield Shield starts and there's a few teenagers debuting just as the great man Bradley Hodge played his last game of competitive cricket on the weekend. Hodgie, how'd it go? East Sandy, did you get him over the line?
Well, I got him over the line. My seven was pretty important, actually.
You only made seven.
Four balls.
Got a boundary, at least.
Yeah, probably. I lost a bit of patience, I think. And then tried to hit one from Sandringham into Brighton and missed the middle stump.
So craft. Oh, you got bowled.
Yeah,
that's
got bowled.
That's a bit embarrassing. On synthetic, the stumps fly, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they just... It's a big cartwheel, so it wasn't pleasant.
Any little sleep, see you later, old
No, there was or... the...
I you come out. Did they do a guard?
No, they didn't do a guard. They actually didn't know it was my last game because they sort
so
of said
Bentley,
that it's...
Bentley United.
Yeah.
Number one team.
I'd sort of had more retirements than Johnny Farnham, haven't I, really? Yeah. So that was sort of the...
And more comebacks.
Yeah. More comebacks, yeah. Exactly. I did run it through.
Farnham's not your sort of musical style, either.
Nah, I can't say Johnny is up there on the list of radio songs which I've heard to. We're more heavy metal type, alternative thrashy metal stuff.
So, just playing for Australia, what song did you go out to when you batted?
Well, I never controlled the music box, and you had your issues
games.
With that as well.
Yes. David Boone was good.
Yep, Booney. I just sort of went along with whoever. But
no, but when you walked out the bat, you would have been part of that era because it was at the end of my career where we'd walk out to a song, or when you come on to bowl, they played your song.
Yeah, my choice was "Smells Like Teen Spirit" by Nirvana, which is just an awesome song and a good pump up song as well.
And you're a grungy type of guy, aren't you?
Yeah,
Beads, educated.
Yeah, I wasn't cool enough, so I had to go down that grungy sort of thing, you know. Wasn't rich enough to buy the expensive clothes to be a yuppie.
So grungy, there you go. I actually went with the Hawthorne theme song, and they wouldn't let me do that. How good would that have been?
Yeah, I did
Where
look
a
up...
happy team at all, every time I went out to that.
No. I
went Kickstart My Heart, Motley Crue.
Yeah, well, you're always a big fan of that, you know.
It's one of my favourite songs.
Yeah, well, it's probably more your mullet, which you had back then, which went along the Motley Crue, the David Lee Roth theme, you know, that sort of thing. You
were Nikki Sixx.
Yeah.
And then my last song was by an Australian band. At the time, they were quite big, a bit of rap heavy metal, was Rip It Up by 28 Days. Do you remember them?
No, I do not.
I gave them a bit of a plug.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry, back to this game, though. Yep. So Bentley United, all out for 276. What stood out to me here, 17 overs, 5 for 57, B. Hodge.
Yeah.
Well, what inspired this?
The weather, actually. As soon as I showed up and it was a glorious day of 25 with no cloud cover, I knew I was in trouble, that I had the wheels and crappy off-spinners out. So, actually, synthetic cricket is a little bit like England, where if it is overcast, you know the ball swings all day. But when the sun's out, my God, it's dead straight. It does nothing. And the irony
are they
two
piece balls or four?
No, they're four, but they act like two piece balls. And the funny thing is that everyone talks about the style of wicket, like it's a synthetic grass.
It's just the same.
And they go, "Oh, this one's a flat wicket. This one does a little bit." And I'm like, "It's synthetic." But it's true. It depends on how long it's been laid for.
So what happens if it's worn? Does that mean it's flatter or... Yes.
Correct. But also, it depends on whether the particles from the footy have got into on top of the grass. So if it hits a couple of rocks, she jags everywhere.
So did you hit five rocks? There's your five wickets. Yeah, this is where you're heading.
Look, it was more... I can't say it was crafty, skillful bowling.
Is it your first five? I didn't look up your stats. You didn't get a first class five at five. Nah. I remember getting a fourfer up at the Gabba.
I got a fourfer against West Indies against Australia. West Indies for Australia, eh?
Brian Lara.
That's where I was going with that. Just
you had
Damien Martin was the captain. He just brought me on a little bit too late, didn't he? Because BC walked out the bat, and I said to. Said to Marta, I said, I reckon I'm a good shout here. You know, he's a bit vulnerable to off spinners early.
Yep. He's not really up for a Australia A game. Nah. Sorry, Brian.
Is it? And Marta said, look, I'm not sure you're up to the standard of Murali Duran, so just hold on for now. Marta gave me the ball when he was on 217.
What?
So thanks, Marta. First ball, pitched outside off stump, nicked the first slip, gone.
Bam.
So thanks,
Marta. And he kept the ball then, fourfer.
Yeah, I got a few more, but... You know, I mean, basically, Marto wasted 6 hours of our lives, didn't he?
Oh, they got to see Brian bat.
Yeah, well, that was the
it
point.
Was good
wasn't
when
it?
Up was, that was the just to finish up East Sandy, so you got over the line, but Woody, 148 not out. That's been a long time coming. I did a bit of research. That's his first 100.
Yeah, it's probably the first time. Big. It's probably the first time he's got past five, actually, Woody. He's injury prone, the Woodster. Probably.
How can you be injury prone? He's not a bowler, is he?
No, he's not.
At East Sandy, what do you mean? What sort of injuries?
I don't know what it is, but I think it might be his nocturnal activity leading into the Saturday fixture. I'm not sure if he's into casual weed smoking from time to time, but he might be. But he's a bit of a womanizer, the Woodster.
Well, do you think this will focus him? 148, round one, 2008, this could be his season.
Well, I think his hamstrings are definitely tested on a Friday night. That's the thing. He might need to park
so
that.
So is he more a boundary hitter?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But this could be the making of him. So,
well done, Woody.
Yeah, good luck
and to good Woody. Luck to East Sandy. You won't have the old pro. No. So, playing career finished.
That's finished.
You've been moved on from all your coaching gigs.
Gone,
so,
gone.
What are you doing?
Well, I actually looked up the worst comebacks ever in sports history. I haven't made it to the top 20 yet, but I reckon that...
Oh, you wouldn't be in the worst.
I reckon
you've got five for.
Yeah, well, I forgot the five. I don't really count bowling as
part
of my repertoire in cricket as a sport. But I sort of looked at the legends. There was Muhammad Ali...
Trevor Berwick, wasn't it?
Yeah. Also, Bjorn Borg.
No. He went with the wooden rackets.
Yeah, he did. So I think what should happen now is if I'm going to make one more comeback, I should probably adopt the Dennis Lilly aluminium bat to bring it on Bjorn Borg's terms and see actually how well I go.
It was an idol of yours and mine. Have you actually felt the aluminium bat?
Yep. It was disgusting.
It was horrible.
Yep. It was just absolutely disgusting.
It just felt bad, didn't it? And then obviously it made a bad noise. But mate, so what are you going to do besides the Bowlology report and obviously Channel 7 Big Bash commentary?
Well,
what's happening?
That's it. I mean, I'm super
excited
about...
That's still months away.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of prep work. I've got to dye my hair, trim the beard up a little bit. Get some Botox, a few other things, which those in the media do. Look, I'm not sure, actually. I've had to... quickly adjust back my life into what I'm going to do in the future. And I'm back on LinkedIn. So I can that for a while. And I'll just run you through a few things that LinkedIn has sent me. So I'm out there searching for employment.
Yep.
So that's
so starting to
Actually, no. I'm exploring all opportunities. Yes. Okay. So whatever opportunities.
So what are they suggesting you explore?
Here's the suggestions. Now, see if you know me pretty
so
well.
So a ex-test match T20 superstar, these are the suggestions for employment.
Yep. Customer service consultant.
No. You haven't been 12th man enough.
No.
Well, Andy Bickle would nail that.
Correct. I was never good at asking Ricky what colour he wanted, red or yellow.
Yeah, you're not running out gloves.
Nah, heck. No. Performance leader, sales trainer.
Performance leader... Sales trainer. Now, you're an innovator.
Yep.
You're an innovator. I see you more as a worker than the actual leader.
That's a possibility, actually.
Coaching experience, you can do that.
Problem is, it's in Sydney. Brand marketing communications specialist. What that says, whoever's job this is for, this is if you want to talk a pile of shit to a few people.
Yes.
That's you.
Well, I reckon you're a chance.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Yes. That's two.
So there's a couple more. Casual sales associate.
No.
For American Swiss Jewelers in Werribee.
Jewelers.
Sister commute over the West Gate. That's not for me.
You're grunge. You're not.
Sales associate. Class. Supporter care team manager. My God.
No.
Chief strategy officer. Receptionist. Hotel receptionist. And a real estate sales.
Okay. I think we're going to go out to the Bowlology Report listeners and viewers. Can we get this man a job or a suggestion on what path he should go down? Because
they're not there.
We'll keep you up with the... We'll keep people in touch with the LinkedIn updates.
Yep, we will do.
Okay, let's move on to the cricket, though. A very good performance by the Australian team to salvage a draw in that first test match. They were in real trouble, but there was attributes that we loved seeing, wasn't it? We prefer the win, but I think there's teams in the past that have just been run over in the second innings.
Yeah.
And on the back of Usman Khawaja's batting throughout the whole test, but there was some fine fighting displays, you'd have to say. And I reckon even with the ball in the second innings, Pakistan could have taken the game away from Australia, but they hung in, kept the economy rate down. But firstly, Hodgie, we've talked about him a lot in the last year or so, Usman Khawaja. What a performance. That was an epic 141 in the second innings. But for me, it looked like he had a game plan. He looked in control, and obviously using his feet and the sweep worked perfectly for him.
Look, it was an amazing epic knock, wasn't it? In both innings. And we probably talked about if he could step up in the absence of Warner and Smith.
Well, we had to.
We're going to be in decent shape. He's clearly the classiest batsman in Australia. There's no doubt. But just that little ghost hanging over his head about, can I play in the subcontinent? I haven't succeeded in that before. And to go out there and nail it and play the way he did...
Do you remember a breakthrough maybe in swing conditions or spin conditions, even if it's T20 cricket, where you got through something and then it just was never a problem again?
Look, everyone sort of has one of those turning moments. I think one of the things that Australian cricketers do when we go over to the subcontinent, we always hear from players in the past about how difficult it is. I remember being on the 2004 tour in which Australia won.
Great win.
But those people that were in there were talking up how tough the conditions are and how tough it had been before. So already your mindset is actually fraction
it's
negative.
Not helping.
And I reckon Usman was in that space. And I think this is a real... He's had 6 or 7 months off at a
no Smith and Warner, like you said. Yeah. New coach.
Yep. And he can adjust that sort of mindset, I reckon. He's obviously gone and worked on a plan, as Matthew Hayden did in that tour, and go, I'm going to sweep the living daylights out of India. Just a set plan where I'm going to stick to that. It's going to work. Trust myself. Trust my training techniques and trust my mindset. And obviously, JL's gone, go for it, mate. Yep.
Yeah, 100%. The one shot, obviously the reverse sweep. He played more in that innings than he had for his whole career. And as opposed to, there was times in those sort of conditions, he used to play this sort of slog sweep that was on the up and against the spin. Mm. So it was... Geez, it was a tough shot to actually implement.
Yeah.
But if you're getting to the pitch of the ball and smothering the spin, or sweeping and smothering the spin, you're in the game, aren't you? And then the spinners will actually, they'll have to change their game plan.
Well, for me, Owen Morgan's one of the better players of spin. Ooh. That you know, because he does these reverse sweeps, he can whack it over the top, use his feet. You just can't settle as a spinner. And then you can't set the field to nullify the boundaries. And I think that's what Usman actually did. He was able to manipulate the field in the field in which he wanted and was comfortable with.
Yeah, it's a good position to be.
Yeah, look, and I love the partnership with Finchie as well, who's an ultra-aggressive person against spin. So I think that mindset of his would have rubbed off as well on the Usman, and the partnership actually worked. Really,
well, even though it was Finchie's test debut, and it was a brilliant test debut, very experienced player now, hasn't he? He's played a lot of cricket in those conditions, mainly with the white ball there. But I wonder if that just helped each other. They, I remember when I was at the academy, they were in the same under-19 era, so they would have known each other for a long time there. Yep. But we talked about Finch coming out and doing the Warner and slogging him, but he was actually quite composed, wasn't he? I really liked his defence.
Yeah.
And he talked about later some technical things he changed, you know, to be able... He felt like at times he was getting his front foot across the crease too much, having to go around his front pad, getting LB or bowled.
Yeah.
But I certainly think throughout that innings, we saw a... In defence in particular, a very, very sound bat from Aaron Finch.
Yeah, well, that's... I mean, it's a perfect place for him to bat. Walk out, open the batting on a flat wicket, no swing, ball's coming on. Get yourself to 20 or 30 before the spinners come on. I thought he played particularly well. I hope the message was don't go out there and smack it.
Yeah.
Because we've seen Maxwell be given that role, and he probably hasn't quite adjusted to just play his natural game. We've seen him be promoted to number 3 in a few test matches before. This was an opportunity just to build and just to play, just to enjoy it with no particular pressure. And I think he did very well.
And on slow pitches, Hodgie, it doesn't always give you the opportunity to score quick, does it? Because the ball's not coming onto the bat at pace.
Well, you've got to remember, the test cricket is filled with extremely talented bowlers. And each one faces a challenge. So to go out there and smack it, it's just improbable to be able to have success. So I think that he's learned to actually build innings and start innings. And I think that his exposure in IPL over 5 or 6, 7
long
years
period of time,
is going to help him go over to the UAE and feel comfortable about facing someone like Yashish Shah, who you've seen many of them now. So I think that's the trick as well. Is that, and I think that would have helped Travis Head as well.
Yeah, well, it was great from Finch and Khawaja. Gave us 100-run partnerships in both innings there. But Travis Head, he would have been nervous failing in the first innings.
Yep.
But he certainly came to the party, didn't he? Like, he looked like he knew his game well and knew exactly what he was going to do.
Yeah, I think he batted well, especially in the second innings after having some courage, getting a duck in the first.
Well, you're thinking pair, aren't you?
Well, you are.
You're thinking, I don't want to make a pair on my test match debut.
Yeah. Look, I just want to bring up about his batting position as well. About, he bats at number 3 or 4 for his state side and has batted, opening the batting and 3 for Australia. I'm questioning why he's batting below Mitch Marsh. That was one which, when I looked at it, I sort of went, wow.
No, it was funny. When Mitchell Marsh walked out at number 4, we've been talking about all the debutants and all. Why is Mitchell Marsh walking out at number 4?
Yeah. And I think he's grown, definitely, as a player. But I still think...
He got his 200s at 6.
Yeah.
Every time he's batted higher than 6, he hasn't scored any runs whatsoever. So let him settle in, because he's vice-captain now. He's got his bowling option. He's an important member of this team.
Well, for me, there's probably only one person that can successfully do that, and that's Jack Cullis. But that's done over a long, long period of time. And I'm not quite sure Mitchell Marsh is just there yet. Those innings have come on the support of a Steve Smith or, established cricketers.
With his brother as well.
Yeah, and was in a really good patch of form as well, Sean. So look, that may be the reason, put him in with his brother and form that partnership and bond. But I think that, in my mind, I think Travis Head's an out-out batsman who can possibly average 50 in test match cricket over a period of time. And, if you think of the legends that have batted at number 4 over the years, Damien Martin.
Michael Clarke preferred.
Michael Clarke, 100%. Don Bradman.
He was okay.
Special.
I think about a 3 or 2. But how hard Mark people will go? What's the difference between coming out at 4 versus 6?
There's a lot of difference, actually, because the game can fluctuate very differently at 4, as is 3. So 3 is your most important cricket player. But 4, you can still come in at 2 for 10, or you can come in at 2 for 50. Generally, you've seen off that first new ball spell, and that's the difference. Whereas 6, you're probably into the second or third spell, of the quick, But having said that, in the UAE, you're facing the best spinner when you walk out. So
yeah.
It does vary from country to country or condition to condition. But generally, a batsman at number four is a smart player. He'll read the play well, conduct an innings, whether it jumps on the back of a David Warner who's aggressive and going well, rotates the singles, or you know can nullify well, that gut, James Anderson.
Yeah, three and four are generally your best players.
Yeah, they're good players.
And we've looked for, you know, their first-class records, they've still got a way to go, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, even Travis Head, averaging 34.
Yeah.
Labuschagne, and obviously Mitchell Marsh is still only averaging 31 in first-class cricket.
Yeah.
So do you expect him at number four to average 45? Because that's the expectation.
You probably
your four
can't.
To average 45, 50,
yeah,
don't
you? You probably can't. I mean, what you get in Sheffield Shield cricket, you're probably going to replicate that in Test cricket. And if you do, you've done a good job because it's obviously harder stepping up.
Hey, talking about ripping Test matches, what about the skipper, Tim Payne?
Yeah, look.
Wicket keeping.
Yeah, tough.
Wouldn't have known it. Tough. How hot was that? And I kept looking at him. He was. He didn't even look like he was sweating or anything. He's got to make the decisions there.
He's always been a good gloveman, though.
Yeah.
You know, that's always been. It's just that down in Tassie, they were trying to promote a few other people. His glove work was always exceptional.
And he had, obviously, the broken fingers issue.
Yeah.
So whether, you know, that did affect his keeping him, trying to catch the ball differently. But then he's batting in the second innings to get us home. You know, it's up there. It wasn't 100, but, you know, last time we were talking about Ricky Ponting in 2005. Mm. You were on that tour. You know, it just shows a lot of leadership that you can actually get the job done, which he did. So big tick for Tim Payne.
Yeah, and look, that's what Langer would have been looking for from his prime leader. You know, just when things aren't going well for us, just try and hang in there and turn the tables. And that's a huge amount of confidence, not just for him, but for his team as well. It's a young team going into the future. So, you know, when it's not going well, hang in there, get a draw.
Yep.
When we're on top, when we've got opportunities, we'll drive it home.
Averages 42 Test match cricket now, Tim Payne. So he's done really well. Still
very
only
well.
One first class 100. He made a double 100 in his first year, about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. He looks a guy who will make first class 100s, but I tell you what, if he averages 42, you don't have to make hundreds.
He might be the he might have learned from Michael Divenuto down there in Tassie. Divo was like,
didn't get a lot of hundreds.
Do you mate?
Made a lot in county cricket, didn't he?
Yeah,
but not for Tassie.
I think his conversion rate was probably poor, but by the time he'd finished batting, the job was done.
Yeah.
It was such an amazing 75 or 80 or 90. He didn't need to go on with it.
I think Diver's helping out Jason Gillespie at the Adelaide Strikers. I'd imagine that'll be a win for the Strikers batsman because he was very highly regarded by the Aussie batsman.
Yeah, and also overseas as
batting
well.
Batting coach.
Yeah, and for Surrey, he's doing very well.
Talking about Justin Langer's attributes he wants to see in players, watching that Test match, I can see why he wanted Peter Siddle back in the team.
Well,
because Sid's just, you know, he's not bowling 145 miles an hour and everything like that, but he just was so disciplined. Times Pakistan looked like they were going to start accelerating.
Yeah.
Took on the spinners a little bit. Then he bowled four overs for five. And he's taken now 214 Test wickets for Australia. So he's the leading Victorian Test wicket taker, fast bowler. Obviously, we've got Warney there. He just took over for Mervyn Hughes by two.
Well,
very similar attributes.
Yeah.
Not diet. Not diet.
Completely different diet.
Merv's not going vegan, is he?
Is he, hell? No chance.
He's not. No.
No chance. No. Well, unless you know something that I don't know.
No,
but
that's not happening.
No. I don't think...
Merv destroyed, obviously, top order batsman, but he destroyed more Victorian cricket team dietitians than any other cricketer before or since.
Did Merv actually bully the dietitian when you do the skin fold test as Darren Berry did or not? Or was he just happy to accept his where he was
now,
at?
No, I think he was proud.
Yeah.
He wanted to get to 200. I think he was consistently over 200. Well, as far as I remember,
You were a roommate with Merv.
Yes.
Can you talk me through his when he'd ring the room service up after a long, hard day's bowling and, you know, order the room service.
Oh, I'd be something like, yeah, g'day, can I have two hamburgers, two milkshakes, two large sets of fries, two ice cream things, and then he'd look over to me and go, do you want anything?
What do you want, Flynn?
Yeah. And the other thing I noticed was, you know, I was younger, so I might go out to the pub, you know, have a couple of beers, yeah, have a cannery and all that sort of stuff. But early in the day, I was the one that had to get our sandwiches and as the younger guy.
Yeah.
And I'd always get a little snack for myself. It was a little Big M or a Snickers bar and all that. And I'd come home late and I'd see the room service tray just smashed everywhere. And I'd also see like an empty Big M carton there. He'd just eat everything.
Yep.
But I do think on field, a lot of similar attributes, isn't it?
Like yeah.
When Peter Siddle and Mervyn Hughes got off the field, they left their teammates in no doubt that they gave 100% for every team that they've played.
Well, I don't know whether this is true, and I don't actually know why he was dropped in the first place, Peter Siddle, because his record's outstanding. But it was more the ball speed in which he carried. I think they wanted to promote quicker ball speed, but yeah, there's roles in cricket for these roles, and you've seen that partnership bowling is vital.
Well, in the 2015 Ashes, when the younger big quicks just bowled a little bit short besides Lords, but Lords was more an Australian-type pitch, they bring Siddle back in for the two tests, and he's not a massive swinger, but he hit the seam.
Yes.
And he took a heap of wickets, and that's why I think Langer would want him around the group because of the attributes we talked about, but also he's got to be a red-hot chance to go to England next year. Talking about not express pace, what about the Pakistan fast medium bowler Muhammad Abbas? Nine tests, he's got 49 wickets at 17. He doesn't get near.
No, he's got 50 now, hasn't he? Wasn't he the fastest 50?
Actually, he was. Sorry,
he was the fastest 50 to. Yeah, as a fast
quicker than Wacko Yunus.
It's amazing. Yeah.
And for in the history of Test match cricket, they've taken 50 Test wickets. You're right there. He's got the lowest average.
And he doesn't look like he can get you out.
No.
But, I mean, that's the skill of, this guy. And similar bowlers, like Adam Dale in our time, who represented Australia, just sort of innocuous.
Accurate, aren't they?
Accurate all day. Don't let you score. Very hard.
And also hitting the seam, isn't it? I wonder sometimes, I don't know, is sometimes their pace an asset? If they're not accurate, they'll get smashed. But they're accurate. Does the ball not quite come onto you? Is that what annoys you? You know, Philander is another one, isn't it?
Well, he's a nightmare.
It's not quite there, but and it just nibbles.
They're the type of bowlers which batsmen actually hate to face. But, if the ball moves, you're dangerous.
Yeah.
If you swing it, if you seam it, you're dangerous. If you bowl straight, you're cannon fodder for any batsman. This guy actually has got an amazing wrist to be able to either hit the seam on conditions which suit or get some little reverse swing. And he actually just doesn't bowl half volleys or short balls. It's just consistently painful for a batsman to think, where am I going to score?
It wasn't just that. We're just going to use the pictorial history of cricket here. It was also their field placements. Mm. That's what I liked from Abbas and Safraz, the wicketkeeper. So let's just see the way that they lined up against Aaron Finch. So I've got that there. Poor Safraz, I'm not going to be
this
able
is
to
not
get
the,
you on there.
This is not the iPad technology which we'll be using at Channel 7 this year, is it?
I think we are. This is what we're going to use.
Okay.
We're not using Freddie Truman's test match, but this fella's got a smile on his face.
Okay, cool.
But just the leg side, it was pretty traditional there. So he had the square leg and, mid-on was back here and there was a mid-wicket there. So there was an area. But what I liked to Finch...
How's Alan Border feeling about Abbas stepping on his ball bag there?
Well, we can't see that. That's not a visual. And for the podcast, you actually can't see what's happening here. But I've got something that resembles the Freddie Truman test match.
Yep.
We've got Abbas the bowler, bowling to Finch. Finch is batting.
Oh, dear.
I'm losing it. Okay, you get the idea. Okay, we might move on from that little practical example there. And we'll get AB. And look what AB thinks of it. And look at Sir Donald, what he thinks of there as well.
Sir Donald's actually looking towards the groin region of the border with Muhammad Abbas.
Can we keep it clean, please,
Bradley? Yeah, okay, right.
So just going to the second test match, I tell you what, they did see a little bit of grass there at Abu Dhabi. Will that be there later on today?
No chance. That's just a little taste for Australia. Have a look. I've played on Abu Dhabi's wicket before. It does look green. It does absolutely nothing. And they shave it off, it'll wear down later on.
10 test matches, Pakistan have won 5, I think, 3 draws. Sri Lanka beat them there 2 years ago, but Herath knocked them over.
Yeah, that's a gun. Is
so you thinking good chance for a draw again?
Well, if Shadab Khan is fit and ready to play, I think we're in a pile of trouble. But you never know. Look, maybe there's talk of bringing in a seam-paced bowler.
So, firstly, you played there. Is three quicks an option?
I think you need quicks, only because...
And who would you go? Do you go Doggett with ball speed or Neeser with new ball swing and reverse swing?
Look, I think we've seen that you don't have to have ball speed to be effective with Peter Siddle and Bass doing really well. So, you know, we've got Stark if we need... The problem is the amount of work that Mitchell Stark did again is not allowing him to be an impact bowler. You know, in that first innings, he bowled 30-plus overs again. Sort of only want him bowling 20 to 24 and just giving him short bursts and say, mate, just try and either knock the stumps over.
Well, Mitchell Marsh took a long time to bowl. Maybe he needs to bowl a little bit earlier and then Stark comes on. Obviously, again, with the new ball, but if there's any hint of reverse, you bring Starkey on just for three overs.
Well, we need to work out whether, you know, Mitchell Marsh is going to actually bowl. And if he does bowl, then he becomes your third seamer. But get him to bowl.
He has to.
Otherwise, we've got to change. I don't think we should change John Holland going out.
Batting order?
Same two. The only change that I'd make would be Mitchell Marsh and Travis Head swapping positions. Okay. And that's it for the moment. Yep.
Okay. That's really good there. I'm very excited about this, and commentators will be very, very happy. Fakhar Zaman is going to play the second test match.
Yep.
Have you played against Fakhar?
No, but he's the best Fakhar I've ever seen. do you know what? Fakhar Zaman is my son's favourite cricketer, and we watched we were watching the series over in Zimbabwe with Australia, Pakistan, and Fakhar was on fire.
He was.
And I kept saying to my son, I'll tell you what, son, this guy is the best Fakhar I've ever seen. And he is. He's on fire.
Well, I saw him in the PSL, and he absolutely smashed him most. Yeah. So,
well, he killed it that one-day series against Australia in Zimbabwe.
But at least we've had a look at him. But you certainly can't give him any length or all that.
So no, he's a tricky fucker for sure.
He is a tricky fucker, Zaman. So we'll wait and see later on today. The teens, whether he gets a go or not. What about the JLT? The Vicks?
Come on!
Somehow got a home semi.
Finally we didn't gas it up. Well done.
I couldn't believe in the 50-year history of 50-over cricket in Australia, that was only the sixth time that the Vicks have won it.
Yeah.
I'd like to know how many seconds they've got. Because commentating many a final at the MCG, and you blokes had gas it and lose it.
Well, I know. I reckon I played in two losing ones to Queensland and definitely one to Tasmania, if not another one to Tasmania. I think we were actually an outstanding one-day cricket side.
Well, you were getting home finals, so that backs that up.
Well, at that time, we were really good at Sheffield Shield cricket, one-day cricket and T20 cricket, so maybe... I'm not sure why we didn't win more titles.
For someone like Cameron White, that might be his only second title. So 88 to him, so he was very good. Peter Hanscom had a good series, didn't he? He got better as it went on.
Yeah,
so
he did
49.
Well.
Matty Short finished with plenty of explosion.
Yeah.
He hit the ball really hard. And your mate, your little self-promoter himself.
Sanshu,
7 for 56. Showed all his varieties. So, interesting. He played one day cricket for Australia at Sandu. Yeah. And then it's sort of gone up and down a little bit since then. But maybe the move to Tassie will help him out.
I think it's good. Well done. I think it's a really courageous move for Gurinder to move down there. It's a bit of a...
He's tall. He's not express either, but he's got good varieties.
Well, I mean, the way I picture Gurinder is that he's on Bondi Beach pretty much 24/7.
Yes.
And I reckon that's lost down there at Sandy Bay. So,
it's still a very nice place.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a cold ice bath. It's not fun surfing, you know, getting your rig out.
Could be the making of him, though.
But good on him.
He's still getting those posts out on Instagram.
But back to the Vicks. Oh, yeah, well done for Andrew McDonald and his staff to get a win. Yeah, going well down there. What I will say, the scheduling. My God. That might be LinkedIn, actually. Sorry about that.
If you need to... seriously, if that's a job interview, you take that.
I better
call.
Take that.
The Bowlology Report can... we can go that alone.
But yeah, I'm going to have a dip at the administration for... Whoever come up with the scheduling to put the final on a Wednesday is just not winning any fans.
No. It has to be Sunday. If it was last Sunday, they are selling that out.
Exactly. And that's what we love. We've talked about it before, about us playing full strength New South Wales on a Sunday afternoon at North Sydney Oval. It could have been that. You know, brand new career ground, Junction Oval. It's had good support from the locals since it's been up and running.
Yeah, but you're also selling it. You're getting more people in who will come again too.
Anyway, it pissed me off and it pissed off a lot of other people too.
So the scheduling, we talked about it. The players like it as well. Start the Shield season in October. Play a Shield game. 2 days later, play a JLT.
Yeah, and that's
play,
a different...
And play it into deep November, early December.
I'm just having more of a crack at having a final scheduled on...
A Wednesday.
A Wednesday, okay. When everyone would have come down to Junction Oval. It would have been a great family day, great time to promote the game. Wednesday's not happening.
You could have brought your East Sandy mates down. Woody would have been there.
Woody would have been there. He would have gone straight through Saturday night.
A little bit injury. Or, to be honest, you've just smashed your first 100 for East Sandy. Mm. You got to get out.
Well, he wouldn't
people
have got,
want to see it.
He wouldn't have got out of the change rooms by 4 o'clock.
Talking about Victorians winning 50 over cricket, you won one in shorts.
Did I?
94-95.
Wow. Was it that early?
Yeah.
Was the shorts brought in that early?
Well, I think they were because there was something... Someone put it out on Twitter and Warney took a catch and I was bowling and I was in shorts. So I think it must have been a two-year thing because I know I didn't play that summer, 94-95. Yeah. And we're in the West Indies when you guys won.
Warney took a pretty important catch off you, didn't he?
Can we just focus on the shorts, please? I think there might have been a remark on Twitter about that. But do you have any memories of that? It sounds like you don't, but...
No, all I know is it was at the MCG versus South Australia.
Yep.
I can't remember wearing the shorts, but all I remember was I was fielding at mid-off and David Saker was bowling and Jamie Siddons, who was the gun player
the scorecard.
South Australia... Hit one the mid-off, I dropped it. Next ball, it disappeared over mid-off for six, and Sakes just wanted to bite my head off and throw me in the
crowd. He was pretty angry anyway on the field, Sakesy.
But, yeah, we happened to win that game. I think we played three all-rounders, and if I can think of them, Jace Bakker, Wrigglesworth may have played as well.
Yes, Ian Wrigglesworth.
And Brad Hodge is probably the third all-rounder.
What about your mate...
Ian Harvey, the freak? Yep. No, I was only joking.
Top scored, Rowan Larkin.
Rowan Larkin?
Yes.
Geez, he would have had a few fire engine drinks after that.
Non-drinker.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, the raspberry and lemonade.
Yeah, you know Rowan what I remember Larkin. About Larko? He used to bring his favourite... Remember what his favourite treat was?
No.
TikToks,
he did too.
Remember the TikTok
biscuits
he used to bring them?
He did too.
On tour when we went interstate.
Yeah.
He was talking that day. He got 45, only off 100 balls, so. And also Dean Jones, 35.
Dino was good.
And Matty Elliott batted four.
Who's coach of this
40
side?
40 not out.
Was this Les Stillman?
I think it was. You opened.
Because he must have gone, well, you're not going to get any... Go up to the top and there you go.
Well, you got out nicking to Brad Whitney.
Well, the Wasp tour.
Used to toe in, didn't he?
Pretty good bowler, actually.
Very good one-day bowler. So, yeah, that was the team there. And the quicks, though, Brad Williams did what? Troy Corbett. Ronnie
Corbett.
4-30. Man of the match.
I reckon he was actually man of the series, Ronnie. He was just on fire in that series, bowling left arm quicks. With the wind, not into it.
No,
because he'd never bowl.
What did he used to say? Bob Seger.
Yeah, no Bob Seger.
I can't do Bob Seger. But what a... Oh, God, he was a funny man.
He's a cop now. He's a police officer.
In South Australia.
Yep, over there, Ronnie.
So you're talking about before, let's get domestic cricket finals on a Sunday. Mm. So I don't know what day this was. Guess what the crowd was at the MCG that day?
28?
No.
I'd say 3,000 or 4,000.
12,000.
12,000.
12,000. That's what you can get if you play domestic 50-over finals on the weekend.
And, well, let's go through the team. Like, I mean, there's some legends playing as well. Not only.
Well, they had Lehman and Nobes.
Yep.
Siddons, Benny Johnson.
Yep.
Proxy Webber.
Yep.
Tim Nielsen. Scuderi.
Yep.
Big Kiss fan. Dan Marsh. Shane George.
Yeah.
Brad Wigney and Blocker Wilson, who's played Test cricket for Australia and now umpiring. Yep. That's without there. So, JLT, well done, the Vics. Let's get on a Sunday next year. What about international cricket? India beat West Indies 2-0. Not totally surprised by that.
No, it's the buy for India, isn't it, really?
But Prithvi Shaw, the young 18-year-old, 100 on debut, I think he got man of the series. He, as a 14-year-old, he scored 546. And they thought, this kid... I'm sure no one from that bowling lineup played cricket ever again when someone makes 500. He got 100 on first-class debut, 100 on test debut. They're comparing him, surprise, surprise, to Sachin Tendulkar. Yep. But interesting, I saw him in the IPL, and you would have as well, like 250 runs. But for a small statue player, his strike rate was 153.
Yeah.
So it looks like they might have unearthed another superstar. Well, the test will be if he comes out here and he has to get runs against our guys. But you'd have to say, wow. What an amazing talent.
Look, I think he's capable of doing so. I think the only person he'd be really nervous about is Josh Hazlewood, that just gets that extra bounce on the outside off stump, the pace of Stark and Cummings.
Yeah.
I'm sure he can deal with. But,
Sachin Tendulkar, he came out here as a teenager.
Yeah.
Got that 100. 200s, yeah.
Yeah, he got his 100 in Perth, I think, at the age of 16. This kid's a gun. Dominated under-19s for India. Yeah. And has continued on with his form, killed it in India A, and they've picked him at the right time, and he's just ploughing through.
Well, I look forward to seeing him out here this summer, and good on the Indian selectors too. They underperformed over in England,
yes.
And there's some established names there.
Murali Vijay,
they moved on. Darwin,
Shikhar Darwin.
So, and there is a big talent pool batting wise over there in India, so you need to make the most of your chances. A guy that I've always been a big fan of, he toured here years ago and I thought his efforts were fantastic, with Umesh Yadav.
Yep.
Got his first 10 wicket haul in test match cricket, bowls over 140. His big strength are his pace. He swings the new ball out and bowls reverse. Not the most consistent accurate bowler, but he's a type that could work in Australian conditions, isn't it? So that's a big win for India.
I think they've got a lot of cards in their pack at the moment, India. They've got Umesh Yadav, they've got Bhuvneshwar Kumar, who can play when it's swinging. They've got Ishant, who's actually sort of got a second wind
last
as well.
Last 2 years, yep.
Yeah, and their spinning group, as we know, is as good as any. But I think they're
building towards their best opportunity to get 20 wickets in Australia.
Yep. I'm more worried about their batting, actually. On the flip side of it, I think their batting's more vulnerable than their bowling at this stage. So, very much heavy reliant on Virat to score runs. Yep. But you know, the
Rohit Sharma hasn't gone on, has he?
No, he's got
Rahane
plenty of
looks
opportunities.
Looks like he's plateaued a little bit.
Yeah, it just hasn't contributed much to a win, Ajinkya Rahane, lately. Although he did have a good summer out here last time here.
He's one of those Indian players I think could do better away from India.
Yeah, he's just a good technical player. But they've got some players who can be really damaging as well. It's just, as you said, the playing pool they've got. I love Rishabh Pant as well. He's sort of like the Adam Gilchrist that if the top six get going, my God, the game's gone. K.L. Rahul, well, he's under pressure at the moment. That's the problem. He hasn't scored a run. So all the talk about him is, should he maintain his spot? But he's the type of guy that can destroy Australia from
flat,
here up there.
Like last time.
Well,
the thing that he's going to trouble with is the moving ball.
Mm.
But if the ball's not moving, he'll move it one way and it'll be off his bat.
Thank you, mother, for the rabbits.
And for the West Indies, I'm really pleased for this man, Jason Holder, the captain, because he took it on at the early 20s. But there was a time with his bowling, I was watching it, and his test play were almost catching his wickets taken. It was. you know, and he's handy with the bat. Oh. But this year he's taken 33 wickets, 11. He's scored over 300 runs. He's taken a fair few fifers in the last six tests. So really pleased for him because that's a tough job.
Yeah.
Captaining the West Indies in test match cricket because you don't always get the best players.
True.
You know, for a variety of reasons, they might go and chase T20 competitions around the world. But
no
he's still
surprises.
A young man.
Yeah.
So
how old is
really
he
happy
now?
For him.
28?
I don't think he's even that.
He was probably just coming into his prime, you know, as a batsman anyway. You're probably reaching your prime around 28, 29, 30. They're your sort of best years. So he's probably understanding his game, getting an understanding of his squad as well, which it's hard for him, I guess, the captain's side when he knows there's other players out there who could improve his team, which don't put their hand up. That's probably a frustration. But there is that big pay discrepancy between T20 cricket and Test yeah. match cricket, which is apparent in West Indies, and it's only going to get global. We know yeah. it is, and they can't run away from it. But, you know, I mean, they've played some good cricket of recent, actually, just how long they can sustain it.
Well, they need, you know, Gabriel getting wickets, yeah. don't they, there. Yep. That Shai Hope's a very good player.
Good player.
Really like the way he goes about it. So, yeah, that's the Indians are coming out, and they've got some good young players to watch there. Okay, our guide to Sheffield Shield starts today. So Western Australia v Vicks, Queensland versus Tassie, South Australia versus New South Wales. Interested, and this is where we're going, a lot of teenagers debuting. So got Lloyd Pope, yep. leg spinner from South Australia, the redhead.
Yep.
The Bulls have got Max Bryant, Beldingham Hard, the off spinner all-rounder McSweeney, Jack Edwards and Jason Sanger for New South Wales. I think they all played in that under-19 for Australia, the last
Most
World Cup
did.
There. So it's exciting, but we know about it because we debuted as teenagers.
Yeah, well, lucky enough. I think the one good thing about Sheffield Shield, look, I like this. These guys are all gun junior cricketers and have actually all done well
in the JLT.
So perfect timing for them to come into the system. A lot has been talked about at junior cricketer Jason Sanger. Jack Edwards got an amazing 100. Max Bryant, I think, whacked
he
75 off 35 balls. So the test will be whether the ball actually moves in Sheffield Shield cricket. It's tough. We debuted in an era where there was gun players around. I think we were talking just before that I debuted with Shane Warne in the side.
I'm just looking through here. So your team, your batting lineup on debut was Wayne Phillips.
Yep.
Matthew Elliott, test players, Dean Jones, Hodge, Darren Ramshaw,
yeah.
didn't play test match cricket, no. played waffle football, Tony Dottermade, what a legend, Darren Berry, Paul Rifle, Shane Warne, Craig Howitt,
yeah.
and Simon Cook, the yeah. snake, he played test match cricket. So that's strong.
So it's 8 out of 11 test players.
But you're yeah. facing Shane George, very good state player, mm-hmm. Brad Wigney, Peter McIntyre, Aussie Mac,
yeah.
Tim May. And they had Blewett, Nobes, Brayshaw, Siddons, Lehman, Tim Nielsen. So that's a strong team.
Yeah.
Do you know what was a little bit unique about your Shield debut? There's something unique about it.
Not sure, actually. What is unique?
Well, South Australia beat us by 9 wickets.
Oh, that's
that didn't
not
happen
unique.
A lot there. you got stumped. In both innings.
Oh, well, did Murphy's play in that game?
No,
it must
didn't.
Have been the next year. Murph gave me some great advice after this game. He said, Hodgie, if you're going to run down the wicket, make sure you hit it. Well, my fault I missed them, then.
Murph. Tim Nielsen bowled Aussie Mac Peter yep. McIntyre twice.
Well,
Mac thought he had it over you. Did you make him pay later on?
No, we did. He actually did have it over me. And I was talking to Greg Blewett about this when we were in Channel 7 only yeah. 2 weeks ago. He was actually a very good bowler if you let him, you know,
dominate.
If you just let sit there. The problem was, I had a coach who I won't name who yeah. was constantly in my ear about my lack of ability to play leg spin bowling.
Yeah.
So I was pretty clouded in my judgment before I went
did
out
catch
there.
Up with Les still
no,
much?
So, you know, no. I don't, so Les just sort of told me that I couldn't play leg spin bowling and that every time I went to South Australia, McIntyre would get me out. Thanks for the scoop.
Love the Aussie back there. My debut was interesting. I was playing a Victorian second 11.
Yeah.
Got some wickets. I wasn't driving at this stage, so I used to get the bus from Springvale.
Was this at the South Melbourne ground you were playing?
At the Albert, I reckon
Albert ground, yep.
And I used to get the bus to the train station. And
did you have a kit bag?
Yeah, and I had the kit bag. So people, peak hour people hated you. And it didn't have wheels then either.
Yeah, but you were tough then. You had a mullet. So
I had a massive mullet down to here. Mm. And the bus was full. And, you know, an older lady got on and I offered her a seat.
Yeah.
Just about as soon as I did that, the bus has an accident, right?
No
so way. I get thrown through the bus, smash against, you know, the metal there.
Yeah.
Oh, my finger's a bit sore here. Go to the 7-Eleven. Ian Redpath goes, what are you doing here? We picked you in the state team to debut. I was like,
no mobile.
I've gone, oh, geez, I've hurt my finger. He goes, oh, I'll just go to the hospital, like the public hospital over the road. So I waited there for 4 hours. No one's seen you. This is what it was like. Geez, it was sore. And we looked later on, I'd actually broken it. Mm. So you can see the difference between these fingers here. So I said about the sore finger. So I'm picked, but I've got to get through a fitness test. And there was an old indoor facility called Bat and Ball. Remember that in the city?
Yes.
And Bat and Ball got used that much. There was cracks in the concrete underneath, wasn't
yes.
it? So you go forward and go through there.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy who's on standby is an old teammate of yours, Dennis Hickey.
Yes, Reg Hickey,
one of the fastest bowlers of all time.
He was quick.
Not one of the best bowlers.
Just fast.
Fast, right? And at bat, and he bowled off 14 yards anyway in the nets.
He is horrible.
So I'm there batting. So I'm trying to hold the bat. I'm trying not to get that finger wrong because it's killing.
Yeah.
Ian Redpath's at the other end. Keith Stack bowls behind me, just watching every ball. So I know if I wince and anything.
You're out.
Mate, it was the scariest thing. And he's bouncing me. He's all through there. Mm. So I got through it, debuted. Green seamer at Junction Oval, but a bit like what you were playing. I think we played Western Australia. I reckon they had 10 test players. They were coming off 3 Sheffield Shield wins in a row, trophies in a row. The disregard they had for us, green seamer, they won the toss and batted. So I got 6 for 30, I'm pumped, right?
Yeah.
But really, they just thought, we'll get enough runs, we'll bowl them out twice. That was the disregard. I only had to bat for a couple of overs with Mervyn Hughes. But these days, you're not playing.
Yeah.
Hey, you're out for 6 weeks with that. And
who did you face? Was Bruce Yardley in that team?
Bruce Yardley played.
Did he bowl on the green seam?
He didn't bowl to me. No. I was facing, I reckon, Capes, swing bowler.
Right.
Bruce Reid.
Yep.
Chris Matthews.
Yep.
So a lot of left-arm swing bowlers there.
Nightmare.
Ken McClay bowling.
He won't make you play.
He won't make you play today. But Bruce Yardley, I should remember about him. And you're talking about the difference between...
How old was he?
So he's 42.
Oh, my God.
International Player of the Year in 1981. I played him in 89. But I remember he was such a legend. And I love, you know, and you don't say a word, do you, in 18, 19. But he was telling sporties after every day's play.
Right.
And it was just fantastic. But I don't reckon they're getting as much, these young teenagers, in this round of tests. They're not playing a Bruce Yardley type, are they?
I wouldn't have thought
Unless you're... coming back.
Or Brad Hogg, for that matter.
Okay, you know what time it is. Time for the segment that celebrities around the world are too scared to tweet, get onto Instagram. They know they're going to get nailed. If there's any hint of self-promotion in their post, this man, Brad Hogg, will nail you.
I've got
you. Who are you nailing today?
Okay, so let's start with some cricketers, actually.
Yes.
So I'm going to start with this is just a notification one between Peter Siddle and Glenn Maxwell on equal terms on their rest day in the UAE at, you know, Yas Links Golf Club, blah, blah, blah. Hashtag Callaway Golf Club, blah, blah, blah. We know that you two haven't paid a cent out of your own pockets for this round of golf.
So they couldn't just have a hit and go... Great to play golf on the day off. They have gone with at Callaway. Okay.
We know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's boats.
An honourable huge mention must go to Matthew Hayden.
Oh, gosh. Jeez. Well, he's still with us, thank God.
Yeah. So, look, I'm not sure who actually self-promotes
Don't
himself.
Don't touch AB.
Sorry,
AB. He'll sledge you.
Sorry. Yeah, he will. He's done it before as well.
And me.
And we probably told him to do the same thing. But back to Matthew Hayden, who has a surfing accident, but then actually self-promotes yourself, getting beat up, looking awful.
Well, he broke his back. He's fine.
Yep.
But even in what could have been his dying moments, he got it out
he
there.
He knew that it was important to get that out there on social media, in the hospital.
And good luck with the recovery.
Good luck,
you're getting votes, Doss.
And you got an extra 3 followers for doing that, so good job. KP, the notorious legend of social media self-promotion. KP's just driving along in the bushland in South Africa. Yep. Look, doing his great stuff with the animals and stuff like that.
Yep, he comes across
some elephants just walking on the track. So he's casually just videotaping the elephants.
That's okay, just to go, what a beautiful creature. I'm so lucky to be near these ones.
Yep, but just as the elephant's just standing there, KP just tilts the phone down and gets the steering wheel of the Land Rover, which he's driving. But he only shows it for 1 second and then tilts back up to the elephants.
So he thinks that's subtle self-promotion.
Yes.
But you are all over this.
We know it, buddy. You've either got a free Land Rover somewhere.
Or a free elephant.
Or a free elephant. For sure. Mitch Johnson has also been pretty hardcore on social media lately.
I think he's trying to... And I'd be angry if I was this man. I reckon he's trying to take over from Michael Clark.
Isn't he? In the
fitness self-promotion.
Yep. There's been a lot
I'd
of...
I'd be angry if I was pup.
There's a lot of fitness, but I'm not going to sledge him for that, because if he does, he'll beat the shit out of me anyway, because we know he's tough.
He's tough.
So you keep pumping those weights, Mitchy. But I want to have a crack at him. You can't be tough and sexy at the same time.
I haven't seen this one.
Mitch is in there promoting... fashion. So he's in a fashion segment of the paper doing catwalk.
Ooh.
But he's actually posted the picture of him in the newspaper onto his social media promoting fashion.
Ooh, okay. Okay, so fitness is good, but fashion, MJ, no.
No, mate. You just go fast, race your cars and pump
I was interested for Mitch, when he's pumping the weights. Are they in his house? Because he's got a lot of weights.
I don't know. Okay. We'll have to find out about that.
The
great Shane Warne.
Actually, we haven't heard from Warne.
No, this is probably his debut for 2000. Well, this is what it's about, isn't it? So, Shane Warne, what a great morning at BBC Radio 2. So, they're obviously paying you to be there, son. We know that. With Chris Evans, who's a huge personality over there. And we're not surprising to promote the book.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. So that's 2 ats.
Yep. No spin. Righto. And, okay, just on to a couple of other honourable mentions from Philip Greenwood, who dobbed in Sam Thaiday, the Queensland rugby player. Got myself a new personal trainer at Rachel Thaiday. Blah, 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 the wife at Hardcore Junction Gym.
We know, mate, don't we?
Just, you no need to pump your wife up, buddy. Just, you know, I'm sure she's got her own intellect property about how she...
But we know what you're doing.
We know it, mate. We know it. All don't right. fall for that. The other one is, and he was dobbed in by Philip Greenwood. Tom Cornfell also dobbed in Hugh Bowman, the jockey of Winx. And Hugh was on fire, actually. He was there... saying, extremely proud to be driving around my new GLC 63. Thanks to the team at Mercedes-Benz Parramatta. I wonder if it will be as fast as at Winx Horse. Hashtag Mercedes-Benz. Hashtag Mercedes-Benz Parramatta. Hashtag Winx, blah, blah, blah. Instagram. Hugh, my God. Just get on the horse and get it over the line. You get paid, son.
I can't. How many apps? How do you do this?
That's freakish. We've not gone into the racing fraternity in the past. Maybe we need to.
Wait, you need to watch him.
Yeah, I'm on
you
him.
You need to watch him. Has Winx got an Instagram?
I don't know. I don't know if she has.
Hey, and thanks for the Dobbins.
We love that from Tommy Cornfell and Philip Greenwood.
Tom,
Thank you very much.
Okay, but I'm going to do this quickly. Hugh, you've just got 10 votes.
Oh, easily.
You've got 10 votes. And I'm giving 2 to everyone else.
Yeah, it's a fair
2 to everyone else, because that's as good as I've ever seen. So that's the social media self-promoter. If you've got any suggestions, this man will take them. Hodgie, all right, so that's the end of the Bowlology report. Any updates on your LinkedIn profile?
Not as yet, no.
Have you put that currently seeking
Look,
employment?
I've probably got...
Former cricketer.
I've probably got to update it, actually, to be fair. You know what, I'm
Does
really...
Does LinkedIn go into self-promotion?
I don't know.
Or is it more serious that people need work?
Because it's probably more serious.
You might be giving yourself votes next week.
See, I was going to go down to apply for the Dole, but you've got to be actively seeking work to actually get it.
Okay.
So that's why I don't
What
qualify.
Scares me is that you've actually looked into it and thought this through. But Bradley, well done again. Mm. You absolutely nailed it. Good luck to the Aussies.
Mm.
We want another fighting display in the second test match. And I think we'll have a crack at that next episode,
yeah,
I reckon,
okay.
Big fella there. Hey, how come, you know, the retrospective book reviews, when are you going to do a book? Or do I have to write one for you just to do one?
I've been offered to do a few books.
Yeah.
And...
It's just straight out autobiographies? Or like the guide to T20 cricket or guide to self-promotion?
Maybe I can do a book about... books which creators have brought out but haven't actually got the best stories into the book.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, there's your employment. I'm sure we can get that there. And good luck to all the teenagers debuting in the Sheffield Shield.
Good luck.
And we'll be back next week after the Aussies. Maybe can they sing the song after the second test match?
Be pretty cool if
Let's hope so. See you next week.
Pressure. You don't have to get wild
now,
with
Will,
it.
Can we get serious right now?
Yes.
There's a famous segment called The Wicket of Truth.
The
you
Wicket
want to
of
tick
truth.
It off the bucket list. We don't
yes.
have time.
The Wicket
I'm
of Truth is fantastic. That's... You know, that's all the buzz in Hollywood right now.
Buzz in
the
Hollywood.
Wicked, the Wicket of
there
Truth.
There you go.
It's a
you
big
heard
deal.
It here. Hollywood has come
deal.
Knocking for The Wicket of Truth. Will, thank you
thank
so much.
You so-
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.